One of the most interesting things, and one of the things that has actually caused so many followers of Jesus to live far below what it is that God has called them to, is the fact that they do not actually cooperate with the gifts and ministries of the Holy Spirit. In fact, for many people, they don't even know who the Holy Spirit is. To them, the Holy Spirit is just one who gives them goosebumps. To them, he's just someone who shows up on Sunday morning. He's there on Sunday mornings if the church actually acknowledges him. And many pastors talk about him. Many pastors give him an honorable mention in their service, but very few people, including a lot of pastors who are standing behind the pulpit, truly understand what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that you're going to need in this time, and one of the things that you're going to need in this hour, is to understand, one, who the Holy Spirit is, what his ministry is, and how it works in your life. So that's what we're going to spend time today beginning to talk about. The Holy Spirit, who is the X factor. I like to call him the GPS. In other words, he is the God positioning system, because he already knows all things. It didn't say he just knew a few things. He knows all things, even the deep things of God. So if I have your attention, man, buckle up, because we're about to go on a ride. Now we find here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1, it begins to talk about how the Holy Spirit distinctly and expressly declares that in the latter times, some will turn away from the faith, giving attention to delusion and seducing spirits and doctrines that demons teach. In other words, what's going to happen is people are going to begin to come in, and they're going to begin to teach things that no longer line up with the Word of God. And the thing I want you to understand is, whenever there is deception, with all deception, there is a certain amount of truth. See, because if it was no truth in it at all, then you would automatically recognize it. But what the adversary does, and even when the doctrines of demons begin to infiltrate into the church, and ladies and gentlemen, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's already happening. And what it's saying is, it will take what is true in the Word of God, and it will pervert it. Now, if you think about the word perverted, most people think the word perverted means it's only talking about sexual situations. But the word perverted simply means to take something good and turn it into something else. In fact, the first act that we read about in the Bible of a perverted situation happened all the way back in the Garden of Eden, when the adversary came to Eve in the Garden of Eden, and he came to him and came to Eve, and this is what he said. He says, "Did God," talking about Genesis chapter 3, "did God say you cannot eat of any of the trees in the garden?" Eve turns around and says, "No, we can eat of all the trees of the garden, but of that one tree, that tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we shall not eat it, neither shall we touch it, or we shall die." Then the adversary says this, "You shall not surely die." What did he do? He introduced a new teaching, new instructions that was contrary to what it is God says. Because this is what he goes on saying. He says, "You should not surely die." He says, "For the day that you eat of it, you will be just like God, knowing good and evil." So what did he do? He did tell part of the truth, but he didn't give the full truth. And because he didn't give the full truth, anytime you only give partial truth, whether you believe it or not, is considered a lie. Perversion, Lord was talking to me about this during the week, he says perversion is not what people think. Perversion, people always think about sex. He says, but manipulation is a form of perversion. Lying is a form of perversion. Anything where you take something that is good and you twist it and take it from something that was good and make it something worse that goes contrary to the Word of God is perversion. Pause and think about that. So he's saying here that when the people begin to fall away, what's going to cause them to fall away is the doctrines of demons, because Satan nor demons can create anything new. Let's pause and stop for a second there. Satan has no creative ability. What he does is take what already exists and twist it to turn it into something that is not. He will do that with you. He will try to do that with me. He will do that with the word. You'll find many, you know, years ago in the States, they had this, they called it the Defense of Marriage Act, which clearly defined the definition of marriage in the United States was between a biological male and a biological female. Then years later, another administration came in and they says, well, we're going to redefine what marriage is. We're going to say, if a man wants to marry a man, that's marriage. If a woman wants to marry a woman, that's marriage. And if a man and a woman want to get married, that's marriage. In other words, he took something that was already, that already existed, and he perverted it by turning it into something that is worse because it was going contrary to the word of God. Why am I telling you all this? Because many churches today have created what is known as sensationalism, which simply means they believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the working of miracles has passed away. Now, biblically, there is nowhere in the Bible that ever says that those things would ever happen. Why would they, would the adversary use this as a way in order to turn the church into something that is worse for those who don't believe the gifts of the Holy Spirit are still available, or that the work of the miracles has passed away with the last apostle? Because the adversary already knows the ministry of the Holy Spirit and how, if you allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you into all truth, if you allow him to lead you, if you, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they have become the sons of God. It says in Romans chapter 8, how the earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, and the manifestations of the sons of God are those who are being led by the Holy Spirit. But if you take Holy Spirit out of the picture, who are they going to be led by? Their own will, emotions, and thoughts. Did y'all see how slick it seems subtle? But most people say, well, I do have the Holy Spirit. Well, you have the Holy Spirit when you get born again. You have him on the inside. But do you know, I told one of my pastor friends, I said, you know what? He's the silent partner in the deal. In other words, he's there, but most people never even recognize that he's there. So you never even tap in to the benefits that come with the Holy Spirit. You're going to say, well, why is that so important? Well, think about it this way. When Jesus was resurrected from the dead and he went to his disciples, this is what he did in the book of John chapter 20. This is what Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 20, verse 21. Jesus says this to them. He says to the disciples, peace be to you. I'm reading from the Amplified version. He says, just as the Father has sent me forth, he says, so I am sending you. And then he also says, and having said this, after Jesus says, hey, peace be unto you, I'm going to send you just like the Father sent me. Guess what what was the next thing he did? It says, Jesus breathed on them. And this is what Jesus said to them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And now, having received the Holy Spirit and being led and directed by him, if Jesus says this, if you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of anyone, they are retained. So what was the first thing that Jesus gave to the disciples once he was resurrected from the dead as a result of them believing on him? They received the Holy Spirit. In order for the Holy Spirit to do what? To lead them. One of the things the Holy Spirit is supposed to do, he is to lead them and to direct them. Now, you said, well, that's one example. Well, let me give you another example. After Jesus had already been resurrected from the dead, and the disciples are doing exactly what Jesus said, God has sent me forth, so I'm going to send you forth. Because the disciples had already gone out, just like Jesus said, And prior to them going out, they also had this experience called they received the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the Bible evidence of speaking in other tongues. When did they receive that? On the day of Pentecost. Jesus told the disciples in Acts chapter 1, he says, remain ye here until you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He says, until you be endued with power. He says, and after that, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Now you have the Holy Spirit within, and then you have the Holy Spirit upon. The Holy Spirit within is in you, because the regeneration or the born again spirit is when the Holy Spirit comes inside of your spirit, takes out that old sin nature, and you receive the nature of God on the inside of you. And guess what? You become a living spirit. You become alive again. You have the same nature of God in you that Adam and Eve had in them when they were in the Garden of Eden. You have the same nature on the inside of you that Jesus, the man, had on the inside of him once he received the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the thing I need you to understand. Glory to God. Once they receive the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, Jesus says, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will receive the Holy Spirit and power. You will receive the Holy Spirit and power. What kind of power? Dunamis power. That word dunamis means miracle working power. And what's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, the miracle working power? So you can go out and be a witness locally, regionally, and globally. Now, what happened when they all came on one accord? Well, it says in Acts chapter 2, when they all became on one accord, it says, and suddenly there was a mighty rushing wind. And it shook the place. And guess what else happened? It says, and it was like cloven tongue, like fire, like cloven tongues above them. And guess what happened? The Holy Spirit gave them utterance as they prayed. The Holy Spirit gave them utterance, but who had to do the praying? The people had to do the praying. It's you and the Holy Spirit operating together in unison. That's why he said he is the X factor. Now, you said, okay, so the disciples received the Jesus breathed on them. They received the Holy Spirit within. The Holy Spirit came on them again in the book of Acts chapter 1 and 2. And guess what happened? It Holy Spirit came upon. Then what you said, well, that was just the disciples. Well, if you go to Acts chapter 19, verse number 2, it talks about other people who had believed. In order for you to receive the Holy Spirit, in order for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you must believe in Jesus. You must be born again. You find this in Acts chapter 19. It says, and Paul, talking about Paul, and they had come across some other people who had believed. And this is the question Paul asked him. He says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed on Jesus as the Christ? And they said, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And then Paul asked him, he says, into which baptism then were you baptized? Then they said, into John, talk about John the Baptist, baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, continuously telling people that they should believe in the one who was to come after him. That is in Jesus, having a conviction full of joyful trust that he is the Christ, the Messiah, and being obedient to him. So what did the people do? They got baptized under John's baptism, where John was says, repent and be baptized. He would say, repent and be baptized. And the people will repent. Repent simply means to change your mind, change your thinking, change your actions, and believe on Jesus. They received him because they were baptized. Now, are they born again? Yes. But Paul is asking, did you receive the Holy Spirit? Have you received the Holy Spirit? And after them telling him about him talking to them about the baptism of John, then he says, on hearing this, They, what happened? What did they do? They baptized them again, this time in the name of the Lord Jesus. And as Paul, what did Paul do? As Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them. Did y'all hear that? The Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in an unknown tongue, and they prophesied. So when they receive the Holy, you have the Holy Spirit within, and you have the Holy Spirit upon. And why are we bringing it to you like this? Because you're going to need how to operate with understanding of the Holy Spirit within and the Holy Spirit upon. And because when Jesus is talking about, I'm going to ask the Father for another helper, he's going to be the Holy Spirit within. And what's the Holy Spirit going to do? Who's going to be within? Let's find out. Y'all interested? That still got y'all attention? Why am I telling you this? Because the Holy Spirit is the X factor if you're intending to live the God kind of life in abundance to the full, till it overflows with power and authority and dominion. Now, when Jesus is talking to his disciples, just before he's about to go to the cross, he says to them in the book of John, chapter 14, he says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, I was talking to somebody not long ago. I said, how do you know? I said, how do you know that you love God? He said, because I'm born again. He said, because I have faith in Jesus. I said, but that's not how the Bible defines whether you love God or not. And he looked at me and I said, because the Bible says here, and I point him to this scripture, it says, God says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So if you love him, you will keep his commandments. And what when he heard it, it kind of puzzled him. But then the light came on. It says, if I truly love God, or a better way to say it, because I love God, because I love Jesus, I will keep his commandments. And why was that important? Because so many believers are out trying to earn God's love through performance. And let me share something with you, ladies and gentlemen. God made a decision to love you, to love me, to love the entire world, even when we wasn't paying him any attention. In fact, he says in Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, it says, and he demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, he still sent Christ to die for you and for me. What does that mean? So I did not have to perform. You know, can I tell y'all something? When Pastor Joan and I got married and everything, she used to ask me all the time, why do you love me? You know, trying to be romantic, why do you love me? Why do you love me? And I kept telling her I didn't have an answer. And she said, why do you love me? Surely you know why you love me. And this is what I remember saying to her. I said, I made a decision to love you before I knew anything about you. So you did not have to do anything to qualify to get it. So you can't do anything to lose it. And see, I learned that from my Heavenly Father, because I learned that I didn't have to do anything to receive his love. He had already made a decision to do it first. And as a result of him loving me first, it was easier for me to receive his love. And see, the same thing here. Jesus, because he said, because you love me, it should motivate you. It should compel you to keep my commandments. Then he goes on, he says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper or another comforter, depending on what version you're reading. He says, and what will this helper do? He will abide with you forever. Who's this helper? Who's going to abide with you forever? He is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, if you're born again, will abide with you forever. We're talking about Holy Spirit within. The Holy Spirit within you will abide with you forever. Even if you messed up, even if you said something you shouldn't have said, even if you've done something you shouldn't have done, even if you was watching some stuff you ain't have no business watching, the Holy Spirit who's on the inside of you will abide with you forever. So he never leaves you. So when you hear about it, it says, you know, the God will never leave you nor forsaking you. God, the God, through the person of the Holy Spirit, will be with you everywhere you go. He goes everywhere you go. He sees everything you see. He's hear everything that you hear. And even the words that come out of your mouth, the Holy Spirit on the inside, the GPS, is always there with you. What does Jesus call him, though? He's the Spirit of Truth, which means the Holy Spirit will never tell you to lie. The Holy Spirit will never never lead you to do anything opposite of what the Word of God says. How do you know that? Because we're going to find out what the Holy Spirit does. Remember, many people hear the word Holy Spirit, but they really don't understand, what does the Holy Spirit do? Well, first of all, Jesus says he's going to abide with you forever. He's the Holy Spirit on the inside will abide with you forever. Number two, he is the Spirit of Truth, whom the world. See, if you're not born again, you cannot receive the person of the Holy Spirit. Remember, the disciples, even though they was walking with Jesus for 3.5 years, until they became born again, the Holy Spirit never resided on the inside of them. The Holy Spirit will come upon people for a task. Even in the Old Testament, after Adam and Eve fell, the Holy Spirit will come upon people for a task. But once that task was over, the Holy Spirit would be lifted. So the Holy Spirit, now that they're born again, now that you're born again, lives within you, and he will be with you forever. He is the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive. Why can't they receive him? They can't receive them. Neither do they see him. Neither do they know him. But you know him, talking about you as a believer, because he dwells with you and will be in you. So Holy Spirit here we're talking about is the Holy Spirit. Within, you have the Holy Spirit upon, and then you have the Holy Spirit within. Right now, we're dealing with the Holy Spirit within. So anytime you hear someone saying, well, the gifts and all the miracles and everything with the Holy Spirit has passed away, you already know it's a doctrine of demons. They took something that was true and turned it to something else. Now, we find out, what does the Holy Spirit within do for a believer, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, in John chapter 14, verse 26, it says this, Holy Spirit, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, Jesus said, he will teach you in all things. The Holy Spirit within will teach you in all things, and he will also bring back to your remembrance all the things that Jesus has said unto you. So when you begin to read the Word of God, like I can quote scriptures, and we can in a lot of different situations, and people ask, how are you able to remember so many scriptures? I said, it is the Holy Spirit within who's bringing all those scriptures back to my remembrance. So that but in order for him to bring it back to my remembrance, guess what I had to do first? I had to read the Word and get the Word on the inside of me first, so that he would be able to bring back to my remembrance what Jesus has already said to me. It's kind of like you trying to go to the bank and write a $500 check, and you got $5.50 in your bank account, and you write a $500 check. Can I tell you a secret? That is not a faith check. That's called felony. And you could be going to jail, wearing a striped uniform, getting 3 hots in a cot if you do that. But we're talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. What does he do? He dwells within you. He will be with you. And the Word of God says he will abide in you forever. Means he never, ever leaves. But he can be dormant. Or he can be quiet, because the Holy Spirit will never force you to do anything. He won't force you to do anything. God won't force you to do anything. But the devil can't force you to do anything, because you are no longer under his jurisdiction if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. You are under the jurisdiction, or you're in the kingdom of God, and you're no longer bound to the kingdom of darkness. In fact, you have authority over the kingdom of darkness, but we'll talk about that another day, another time. So the first thing you need to understand is the Holy Spirit still roams and still is in the earth today. And he came back into the earth the day that Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. And the day he ascended into heaven, Guess what happened? While the disciples was at the day of, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out on those 120 who were there, and they began to do exactly what Jesus said. They were witnesses locally, regionally, and then globally, and they began to do things far above what they could have done in the natural. Now, continuing to talk about the Holy Spirit, people will say, but does the Holy Spirit have anything to do with the world at all? I'm glad that you brought that up, because we're going to point that out here in John chapter 16. I'm going to start at verse number 7. Talking about the Holy Spirit, the X factor. Now, it says this in John chapter 17. As you were, John chapter 16, verse number 17 says this: "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth," still Jesus talking, "it is to your advantage that I go away." Now, why would it be an advantage for Jesus to go away as opposed to staying here with us? Because Jesus, the man, could only be at one place at one time. But the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers, those who had received him, those who had believed on him, the Holy Spirit could be everywhere all at the same time. Can I get one amen in this up in here? Now, he says, "It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper, the Holy Spirit, the comforter will not come." But Jesus said, "But if I depart," he says, "I will send him to you." So the Holy Spirit is not a female. The Holy Spirit is a he, and he is a very real person. And it says, "And when the Holy Spirit has come," one of the things he's going to do is he will convict the world of sin. Did you ever notice it didn't say he was going to convict the believer of sin? It says he's going to convict the world of sin and of righteousness. And of judgment of, he says, and of judgment of sin. He says, because they do not believe in me. He's going to convict the world, those who won't follow Jesus, because they won't believe in Jesus Christ himself. He says, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you will see me no more. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world age, or the adversary who has a kingdom of darkness in his present world system, he will be judged. How? Because Jesus has already judged sin. God has already judged sin. When did he judge sin? On the cross. When Jesus went to the cross, he paid the sin debt for all sin, past, present, and future. And your remission of sin is already made available to you, but you have to receive it. He's already judged the adversary. He's guilty, but he did not judge you. But if you make a decision not to receive the free gift that was being made available to you, he didn't have to judge you because he's already judged sin. And he says, because the adversary practices sin, he's guilty. Anybody else who practices sin is guilty unless they have received the gift that was made available to them through Jesus Christ to have their sins washed away. Do y'all see how simple this is? So simple, a child could do it. But then Jesus also said this. He says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them." However, he's going to talk about the Holy Spirit, the other parts of the Holy Spirit's ministry. When he comes, this is what the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Truth, that's one of his names. When he comes, he will guide you into all truth. First, he's going to teach you in all things. Then he's going to bring back to your remembrance all the words in which Christ has said unto you. He's going to live in you forever. He's going to always speak truth to you. He's going to guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And guess what else the Holy Spirit will do? He will tell you things to come. So you don't need to go see a fortune teller, because that's demonic. A fortune teller, another word for that in the Bible, is called a soothsayer, which is under the guidance and direction of demonic spirits. Talk about your zodiac sign, all under demonic spirits. Talking about sorcery and witchcraft and Ouija boards and tarot cards, all under the control and under the influence of a demonic spirit. So every time you play with those things, every time you involve yourself with them, even if you burn sage to try to keep demons away, even if you're wearing crystal necklaces or jade bracelets and all that, you are practicing witchcraft. Yes, I said it. You are practicing witchcraft, which is all involved with the demonic. It's a cheap copycat. Remember, it's the adversary taking something that is good and perverting it because he's trying to mimic the Holy Spirit. Do you see that? But what he says is, he says, the Holy Spirit, who's the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth, and he will tell you those things which are to come. And he will glorify Jesus, for he, talking about the Holy Spirit, will take what is his and he will declare it unto us. So if you are a follower of Jesus and you have the Holy Spirit within you, the Holy Spirit will always be with you. He'll never leave you. The Holy Spirit within, he will teach you in all things. He will bring back to your remembrance all the words in which Christ has said unto you. He will guide you into all truth. He will show you those things which are to come, but I'm going to share this last one. And boy, this is going to be the hot sauce on the fried chicken right here. This is what he says in John chapter 6. I hope you're ready. Got your shouting shoes on. Jesus is talking to those disciples who believed in him. And this is why you can't get up caught up in how many people are following you or how many likes you get on your Facebook or Instagram or whatever social media page you have, because the same people, this is one of the lessons that Jesus taught me early on in ministry, is you are one sermon away from people following you, and you're one sermon away from everybody turning their back on you. Because in this scenario, if you go back and read the book of John chapter 6, Jesus is talking about the fact he was going to have to go to the cross, and you know, he was talking about, you know, drinking his blood, eating his flesh. They're thinking physically, he's talking spiritually. He's basically talking about the Lord's Supper. But this is what Jesus said. And because people got a fit, this is what happened. He was sharing this message. And when Jesus, I'm talking about John chapter 6, verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, complained about what? The word that he was sharing. So pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers, if people complaining about you, you got good company, because they talked about Jesus too. Guess what? They're going to talk about you. They complained about him. He said to them, does this offend you? Does what offend you? Does the word offend you? For people who are sensationalists, this word I'm teaching you right now is going to offend you. Those people who grew up in those churches that don't even talk about the Holy Spirit, or he's tied up in the pastor's office with duct tape and chicken wire, you bet not see nothing. And they mention him, they give him an honor mention, but they never let him show out. This will probably offend them. But he says this, what then is if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? Now listen to this. It is the Spirit. Who's the Spirit he's talking about? The Holy Spirit, who gives life. It's the Holy Spirit who gives life. He says, the flesh profits nothing. Jesus even takes it a step further. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So the Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of life. He gives life. How do you know? Because when you are born again, you are born again from above. And remember, the Holy Spirit comes down within your spirit, pulls out that old sin nature, and now you have the nature of God living on the inside of you everywhere you go. But you want to know? I'm going to give you a little nugget. If you go back to the book of Genesis chapter 2, remember when it says how God breathed into them the breath of life and they became a living being? Guess who that breath of life was when they breathed into him? Let's go find out. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7 says this. Then the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath or spirit of life. And man became a living being. When God, Adam, and Eve came alive, guess what he breathed into them? He breathed into them the spirit of life, aka Holy Spirit on the inside of them. And what do they have when they were in the garden? They had the very nature of God. When did the nature of God depart from them? The moment they heard the word of the adversary, perverted the words that they had received from God, and they believed in the perverted version more so than what the word of God says, and they acted on what the adversary said instead of doing what God said, and as a result of it, they took on a new nature. And the moment that you make a decision to yield to the doctrines of demons and seducing spirits through astrology, through tarot cards, through psychics, through mediums, through any of those things, are making a, you're going to take what was God declared what was good, and you're going to receive the perverted version of it, and it will be turned into something worse, and your life will be worse after you receive those, interact with those things, than it was before you ever received them. It is a copycat. It is a knockoff. The Holy Spirit, He is the X factor. He is the only one who can lead and guide you into all truth. He's the only one who can teach you in all things. He's the only one who could bring back to your remembrance all the things Christ has said unto you. He's the only one who could show you those things to come. He's the only one who is the Spirit of life. He's the only one that enables you to be born again in your spirit, man. He is the only one who could do that. Anything else other than that is demonic. And anybody who yields more to, and remember, he is a gentleman. It says, as many as are led, it says in Romans chapter 8, by the Holy Spirit, they have become the sons of God. Holy Spirit will not drag you, even if he's on the inside of you. If you never inquire of him, you never asked him anything, you never say, Holy Spirit, teach me this. Holy Spirit, show me that. Holy Spirit, lead me in the way that I'm supposed to go. Holy Spirit, give me words to say that line up with the word of God. If you never tap into him, he will lie there dormant. And that's why there's so many lifeless churches, powerless churches, because they have the Holy Spirit within, but they never let him out or never yield to him. They come up with their own programs and wonder why God is not going to bless their mess. It's never going to happen. The Holy Spirit, he is the X factor. Now, next week, when we get into this, further into this series about the Holy Spirit, the X factor, we're going to be talking about things such as how you build up your most holy faith and how you build up your spirit and some of the other attributes that the Holy Spirit would provide in your life when you allow him to. Now, on behalf of the entire Ignite Nation and Pastor Julian and myself, I want to thank you for joining us today. We'll see you next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.